I was telling the folks in Friday night study, this is a, I'm excited about what we're about to talk about this morning, because it really means a lot to me to know that whatever I need, my Lord provides. And that includes perseverance. Over and over in Scripture, our Lord encourages us to keep the good fight. Through the writings of Paul, the Apostle Paul, keep the good fight. Race, run the race. Keep on keeping on is a famous statement that, or a popular statement that we pastors share with each other. Gene, Pastor Gene began sharing that with me right when the Lord put me in this ministry. John, just keep on keeping on. He had been doing it for 38 years.
Yeah.
He'd been doing this a long time. And he knew, as I began to preach and be the and do the pastoral position, that I was going to need encouragement. I was going to need those words. John, just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on flapping your arms on top of the water. Keep on flapping around. Keep on talking about Christ. And folks, I could get distracted and go off into other directions very quickly, but thank you, Lord, that He does keep us. He keeps us coming to services, doesn't He? He keeps putting in our hearts this desire to come and hear more about Him. I'm excited to be here this morning to tell you, this is what we're going to look at in 1 Peter this morning. Once again, we turn to our text of studies in 1 Peter chapter 1. And in our last few studies, we've seen how Peter is addressing the elect, as it says in verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. To you, elect, grace unto you. And peace be multiplied is what Paul is saying. Then he goes off and this is what I want for you folks. And now next he's going to praise our Lord for providing it. For keeping us keeping on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We spend our time considering this inheritance, being sons of the Most High, joint heirs with the Son of God, Christ Jesus. An inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven. So I want to jump right into this morning. Look with me at verse 5 at text. Of our text, 1 Peter chapter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 studies I can see in that very verse. Right there. This morning we are going to look at the word kept. Our focus today will be on this subject, kept. It says we are kept, we are preserved, we are hedged about. Peter addresses this in the understanding of trials. Look over verses 6 and 7 for just a moment. We'll look at those great in a deeper sense at another time, but look just to understand what we are kept through, what we are kept as we go on. We are kept wherein we greatly rejoice, speaking of being kept, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, right? Isn't that correct? Well, this is what's being kept. This is what we are being kept. We are being kept in giving our Lord the glory. You see how I'm talking about how the Lord, what He commands of us, He gives to us? He provided Himself a sacrifice. Why? Because all the sacrifices we can give aren't worth anything. We needed a sacrifice that was worth something, and our Lord is worth everything. He addresses these trials that we're being kept of through verses 6 and 7. Lord willing, we'll look deeper into those verses in our future studies, but it has very much to do with what we saw in verse 5. Now I'd like to ask you to mark your spot. We'll come back to it and turn over to the book of Job. Book of Job. You think you got bad times, folks? You think your trials are heavy? They are. We saw last week, I think it was, or was it the week before, how David cried out in the book of Psalms. He was crying out. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. He cried out. Oh, that wasn't it. That was the wrong one. I'm sorry. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? We looked at how the things that trouble us the most, are they not the sins within us? Our troubles are deep. But you think you got troubles? I was watching a video this morning of a young man who's autistic and blind. Now, I have a nephew, Kathy's sister, whose son is autistic, and I've seen a little bit about what autism is, just a little bit, not enough to even really know the depth of what it is. But I can't imagine what it must be like for one who is blind and autistic to go through this world with all the stuff that's going on around us. And the Lord blessed this one young man with a voice that just blew me away. Just blew me away. And I thought to myself as I was hearing him sing, John, you think you got it bad? Look at this poor young man. Look at what he's having to go. John, you think you got it bad? Look at the news and the people who are just living off of... I've seen a man when I was working downtown go into a garbage can and pull out pizza that had been in the garbage can for 3 days and eat it like he was having a feast. John, you think you got it bad? What about a young woman who's been beaten every day for years by a man she loved? John, you think you got it bad? What about a child who's been raped from the day they were old enough to be? John, you think you got it bad? I don't have it bad, folks. Job? You think maybe Job might have had it bad a little bit there? We are kept, especially through our trials, especially in our temptations, where faith is put to the test. Not a test for God to know one way or the other, but for He knows all things, but trials are as all things are, they are of God. He is not the author of sin, yet He allows it. He allows our trials to teach us, as all things are, for our good. How are you going to know if all things are for your good if you've never had a trial of it?
Yeah.
I got to go through trials. I got to go through temptations so that I can come out on the other side and the Lord will show me the goodness in it for me. See how weak you are, John? See how you can't deal with that yourself? You need to look to me. He allows our trials to teach us. To teach us that all things are for our good. Can we not be thankful for our weaknesses? Our weaknesses that keep us looking to Him? Did not Paul thank the Lord for the sins that was within him? Because if it hadn't have been for the sins within him, he wouldn't know he needed a Savior. That's a strange way to look at this, isn't it? But think about that for just a moment. Can we not thank our Lord for everything?
No.
Do we not see His mercy and grace on that big blackboard because of all the blackness that is in our life? And the greatness of His mercy and grace in that? Listen to the doxology of Jude. In Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 24, we read this: "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling," and then what? Not only does He keep us from falling as we go along, but what does He do? This is mercy and grace, folks. He presents us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Look with me at this wonderful blessing that we find in God's Word, a picture of God's servants throughout all times, throughout all nations, and all tongues. Look with me, if you would. We're going to read quite a bit of Scripture. I'd like to begin at verse 1 of chapter 1 and read through. Wait a minute. Did I mess up here? I did, just a little bit. I messed up on my notes. Okay, I got it. We're going to read all of chapter 1 and the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Okay, Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now how are any men who walk this world perfect? We are perfect in only one way, and that is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. In verse 2, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their house, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up in the early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, I can picture through what the Lord has inspired the writer to write here. He's got to be, now wait a minute, I know everything already. I already know what's going to happen. But I'm going to let this happen just to prove to you, just to show you of who I am. Not Job, but just to show Satan who I am. Hast thou not, verse 11, but put forth, or verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Notice what the command was. And Satan could take that no further than that, could he? Think about ourselves, folks. Our Bible study, when we go into God's Word, we're looking into God's Word and how it relates to us. Think about ourselves being kept by the power of God. And here we see the power of God even over Satan, keeping his loved one from the evil. Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put forth not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding them beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Ooh, so here comes the bad news. Here comes the bad day for Job. Do you think he had a bad day that day? Do you think he thought to himself, oh man, what would you think? How would you feel if the Lord took everything out from underneath us this very moment? I'd have a little concern. The weakness of this flesh, this humanity that stands before you, would be a little bit concerned. But that's not the end of it, is it? Look at verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants of and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. There's two pieces of bad news in one day. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. It doesn't, it keeps coming. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons, okay, if it's not enough that it's time for the Lord to take everything I have of possession, he's taking my children too. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Look at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle. The sorrow that was going through this man's heart. And he shaved his head and he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither, and the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Look back to the days when you and I were walking this earth with no care for God. Or maybe we cared for something we thought was a God. Something that we had control over. Can you remember what you would have thought possibly then if something this disastrous, this devastating would have happened to you and your family? But folks, it's not about to get better for Job yet. Keep going, shall we? In verse 1 of chapter 2, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. I'm telling you, folks, you and I have no idea what the troubles of man can be. Yet we have an idea of what it is to be kept, don't we? Has not the Lord shown you and I how he keeps us through his word and what he does in our own lives? Have you ever stopped and thought, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to stick the finger at that guy for what he just did to me on the freeway. Why? Because my Lord's watching. Now, I'm not trying to portray to you that I'm something better than I was before, but the only reason I would stop and do that is because of the love I have for him who first loved me. Because he is keeping me from going about what I would have done before. My own will. He is keeping me in his will. Verse 7, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job and sore with sore boils in the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a posture and to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. And he said, then said his wife unto him, I've lost my children. I've lost all that I have in the world. And my wife is going to turn against me? Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Folks, it's as simple as this. Our God, the God of Holy Scriptures, rules in all things, and that's including the hearts of men. Our Lord knew Job would come through this great trial for the faith that is God's gift. He believed God because God gave him the gift to believe, just as he has given you and I the gift to believe his word. He keeps us through his word. Throughout all of the Old Testament, people looked for a deliverer. One who could and would deliver them from whatever plagued them. The problem was, most could not see what their true plague was. The plague of sin. The plague of self-righteousness. You see, this is what Christ Jesus has delivered us from. From our sin nature. From our own high place that used to say, I'll not have that one rule over me. I will say where I'm going to go. I will decide what I'm going to do. I will make a decision when I want to. Don't tell me I have to do something. Our Lord has delivered you and I from that, and he keeps us from going back to it. And we are kept by his power, not by something that we have done within ourselves. We haven't just gotten smarter. If anything, I've figured out that I'm a lot more foolish and a lot more dumber than I was when before the Lord shined his light in my heart. Yeah. I've come to understand the truth of what this worm before you really is. But Because I see the truth of who He is. And this is all by the power of God. It's not John, it's Him. We are delivered from our high place. This is something that we are delivered from. This is something that we are being delivered from. And this is something that we shall be delivered from. I wasn't delivered just once 22 years ago, sitting there in that pew. The Lord has been delivering me ever since. And He's going to keep right on delivering me till He's got me to where He wants me, which is in heaven with Him, which I pray that today will be the day for our dear brother Jeffrey Schuster. I don't know if he woke up yesterday. The last I heard that he had not woke up at all, which means he's close. Not just once and done, but continuously. The battle is won, but it's not over. What do you mean? What are we still fighting for? Because the Lord wants to keep us looking to Him by His power, to keep us coming to Him and seeing Him and glorifying Him for His love for us. Our full peace will come with the inheritance that we saw in verses 3 and 4. It's an inheritance of eternal life. Folks, is not all power in heaven and earth given unto the Son of God? Isn't that what the Word says? All power is His? Do we not read in Matthew 6:13, "And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We read also in Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Folks, we are kept. We are kept by the power of God. Can anything be laid to the charge of God's elect? Can anything separate us from the love of God that is in His Son, the Lord Jesus? Isn't that what we read in Romans 8:31? "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" I stumble. I stumble. I trip on myself all day long. I need a strength that cannot be found in me. I need Him. I need His strength. I need it every hour. Oh, how I need Thee. I was going to sing that for our opening hymn. Then I saw Kathy had put that in our regular service. So I pray that the Lord might lay upon your heart as we sing that at the end of our services today. I need Thee every hour. I don't just need my Lord for a moment here and a moment there. If the storm is raging around you, turn to Him. Turn to the One who has promised to keep you and to deliver you from this body of death into everlasting life with Him. Lord willing, next week we'll continue with this theme, kept. Stand with me.